Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Good morning. As we approach God's Word, it's good to settle ourselves and to focus on God, asking God to illumine our hearts. So join with me in the prayer that you'll find printed in your bulletin.
As a child rests in its mother's arms, so will I rest in you. As a child rests in its mother's arms, so will I rest in you.
Oh God, open the scriptures to us, and filling our minds with your heavenly imagination, might you be with us as we strive to live that word we learned today. For we ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ, your living word, and the people of God together say, Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Moses' last sermon, recorded in Deuteronomy. And then from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth that Mindy so ably shared with our young people. Listen for the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're picking up in the middle of what compilers say is Moses' sermon. See, Moses says, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
from Corinthians. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When my friend, the Reverend Dr. Jim Shiflett, at 89 years old, was dying, the family gathered round two by two. They leaned over his long body and his long bed in the ICU. And bending their ear closely to his mouth, he spoke to them. It's likely what he said was garbled because of his stroke, but they got the gist of his important message. By way of his touch and final words, he was blessing them, commissioning them to continue love's story that God had begun in them, a story that in part was nurtured by Jim's faithful parentage. They knew something holy was passing hands on that December night just a few months ago, and that all that Jim had been a steward of was now falling to their care. I think there's something like that going on this morning in this text from Deuteronomy. Moses is gathering the people around, and they are bending near to hear his final words, what compilers call his last sermon. These are his efforts to pass the faith along. And for generations, we have since then leaned in closely to this old wise man's words. Don't put anything before God, he says. Don't let anything get between you and God. And love God by following God's law. Build your communal life on this truth, by not allowing anything to get between you and God, and by following God's law, build your life on this communal truth, and you'll be building on a strong foundation. So Moses, figuratively on his deathbed here in chapters 29 and 30 of Deuteronomy, approaching 120 years old, the scripture says, urges the children of God, choose life. Choose life and live. Loving God, obeying God, holding fast to God, this means life. Choosing lesser things will yield little good. So cling tightly to God, cleave unto God. That's how the King James Version of the Bible puts it. Cleave unto God and you will live. Members of First Presbyterian Church have been distracted by many things in our history. But again and again and again, we return to this law, this word, this hope, this promise of God. We've returned our focus to God. And when focused on God, we become most fully alive as children of God. This congregation was formed in September, we don't know the day, in 1850, in what was then known as West Urbana. Historian and minister Dale Robb, who compiled a history of our church with William Widener just over a decade ago, reported, quote, that a vast stream of immigrants arrived to populate the grasslands in the central and eastern parts of Champaign County. These immigrants, they say, were from Kentucky, from Tennessee, from Virginia. Some were from Canada, some were from Europe. But things changed on July 24th or 25th, 1854, when the first Illinois Central Railroad let off passengers at the new depot here. Chicagoans came to the Central Plains here. And not only Chicagoans, but come-heres from Pennsylvania and New York and New England. Urbana's population jumped in 1850 from 500 to 3,000 in 1856. Ephraim K. Lynn was installed pastor here in October 1854. Some of you all remember that. A new frame structure was constructed on these grounds, and these lots on the corner of Hill and State Streets set the church back $400 back then. Methodists and Baptists worshiped in this space, not this space, but that space, because they didn't have a church yet. And as the town grew, the church grew, and so did discontent and controversy. The church weathered a civil war, fought in battlefields far away from here, but another civil war was fought in the pews of this congregation while the congregation squabbled over issues of theology and temperance and slavery and theology and old school versus new school Presbyterianism and the methodology of mission and revivalism. The Presbyterians of Scottish descent had a hard time getting along with the Presbyterians of an English descent. People left. They left because they were frustrated with the squabbling, but they also left to be closer to where they lived. Salem Presbyterian Church was founded in Middletown, now Mahomet, and closer to campus in the 20s, McKinley Presbyterian Church and Foundation was formed. First Presbyterian Church, Urbana, New School, was formed, and others, Westminster, Savoy, Rantoul, the Korean Church, and others. But this congregation, despite seeds of discontent, grew as the town grew. People came to study Scripture together, to worship God together. And that flock, as we are doing today, leaned in, listening carefully to the words of Moses. Don't let anything get between you and God. Put God first. Follow God first and foremost, and thereby live into the service to which you're called. This service, this ministry of love. Under the steady tenure of George McKinley, the Reverend George McKinley, whose son became a successful businessman and a U.S. senator, the cornerstone of our current church was laid in 1867. The financial time was so dire that the treasurer would go around on Saturdays and visit members of the flock, getting them to pay money so that he could pay the workers the following week who were building the church. One man sold 40 acres of choice farmland in West Champaign to help pay down the bill. This church, this building, was finished in 1869, and in 1874, we were debt-free. Ministers came and went. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Reverend John S. Frame died in 1874. He had been pastor of this church for only 4 years, commanding the huge salary back then of $2,500. He was only 36 years old when these last recorded words were uttered. "The laborers fall," he said, "but the work goes on." And so it did. And does. People come and go. The laborers fall, but the work goes on. The Reverend E.W. Clippender traveled to Cuba in 1905, to Cuba. In 1915, the church purchased a new Presbyterian hymnal, even as the General Assembly 2 years before sent May Chapin, one of our very own, to become a missionary in China. After World War I, there was a falling out. Get this. The session changed the time of the evening worship service. In the 1920s, there was a successful father-son banquet. And after the Depression in the 1930s, worship attendance fell off to what Paul Van Arsdale, a local historian and economics professor here, called, quote, "a malaise of uncertain origin." A malaise of uncertain origin. In 1935, the session polled the congregation about low attendance, about low giving, and about high debt that we had incurred from building the church basement. Through these years, disciples were nurtured and grown up, and they worked. They came and they went. There were many workers. Paul and the likes of Mal Nigren and Dale Tudgy planted. Apollos and the likes of Bertha Jean Berger and Tracy Dace watered. And God alone brought growth. I'm reminded of the story of Jesus and his first disciples. On the waves in a storm, they mistake Jesus for a ghost walking on the water. And Jesus, understanding this, calls out and says, "Don't worry, it is I." And Peter says, you would expect Peter to say something like this. If it's you, Lord, then command me to get out of this boat and walk on the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water until he began to realize how big the sea was. And then, of course, he immediately started to sink. When we focus on Jesus, our lives take on a new vitality. When we focus on Jesus, we're able to do more than we ever thought we could do alone. When we focus on Jesus, we can practically, though I wouldn't try this at home, we can practically walk on water. When we allow our focus to shift to lesser things, however, our lives become desperate and things begin to fall apart and we start to sink. This, I believe, is how any church ever becomes and remains vital, by staying focused on the God who brings the growth. We find our vitality only in God. Everything else passes away. Popular things become unpopular, but God, with God, all things are steady and vital. When we follow Moses' advice and stay focused on God, we live. We build our promises on the rock of God's promises. Our founding history that I've just shared a few highlights with you sounds oddly familiar to me. The selling of farmland to further the causes of the church is not unique to this church in the 1860s. Right now, our daughter church, Copper Creek, is growing a church from farmland in West Champaign. It's roofed in and walled in. It's not heated inside yet. The workers are freezing. But the building is going up and coming out of the ground. And the influence and influx of immigrants is nothing new at all to Champaign County. Back then, they came from New England, but now they come from China and Korea. We have brothers and sisters from Scotland and Taiwan and Ethiopia and Indonesia. Our brothers and sisters hail from Cameroon and Congo and from South Carolina. That's not funny. Not only did the session poll the congregation in 1935, the session is always interested in what the flock is thinking, including in the poll we took last year, a few months ago. Worship is lifted on the wings of song. We purchased a new hymnal in 1915, but many years since then, and 2 years ago here. Over the years, we've changed worship times again and again and again. And each time, some of us grumbled. Why? Because we're not fond of change. And that's okay. In 2020, we are still filling our church with the dust of new construction. Now it's the new kitchen that we're renovating in Centennial Hall downstairs, and a ramp that will be built so that people can come down to the fellowship hall and can get up from it. And it's long overdue. Our church shared space with Methodists and Baptists in the 1850s. But in these recent years, we've shared our space with the Saturday Evening Fellowship of French-speaking Africans. And this Saturday Evening Fellowship has just recently found a new home several blocks away, their own space, their own church, where they can meet and pray and worship all week long. While I've been your pastor for only 2 years, 24 months, 16 and a half days to be precise, and 3 hours, this history sounds oddly familiar to me, like I've been here much, much longer. The struggles and the joys our church faced long ago are the same sorts of struggles and joys we face today. All of the names have changed. Literally, all of them have changed, but the principle is the same. We strive to build a congregation that looks a little bit like heaven on earth, where everybody is welcomed. All races are welcomed. That wasn't always the case, by the way. And if you look at the history, there's a single paragraph about that. But it's the case now. All races are welcome. All peoples, every political and sexual orientation, every person is welcomed. Old and young are welcomed. The people who are sure of their faith and the people who are not so sure, they're welcomed. All are welcomed and loved as God loves us all, and challenged to serve. We keep turning again and again and again to the God who gives help and guidance and forgiveness. The Spirit encourages us, holds us accountable, challenges us, sends us out, and thanks be to God, welcomes us home. This God-centered journey, walking in the manner of Jesus the Christ, well, it thrills me, and I'm glad to be walking with you these days. Interim pastor William Wimberly Jr. wrote about our ancestors these words: they met fire, world wars, economic chaos, theological shifts, post-war social changes with calm, good sense, mixed with rebounding can-do spirit. I would add that our ancestors faced tough times with confidence because of God's grace. Because God had not let the people of God down ever before, and they expected rightly that God would not let them down. Some of their plans would surely fail. Some of their ideas were bad. And some of their points of view and theological points were wrong. But God never was, and God was always steady. And the church has been steady too by the grace of God. The Spirit working through them and sometimes despite them for lasting good. I have no idea what the future holds for us. I only know that as we bend low and listen closely to that old man's words on his deathbed, Moses, as we choose to stay focused on God, the future will be one of hope and vitality and life.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.